I don't know if you saw in the paper today that Mount Washington had a record low of something like minus 118. That's a, well, it's wind chill, a wind chill. So 108, yeah, minus 108 wind chill. It was a minus 47, but it blows hard there. So that's that. This is the time of year when it's so easy to feel morally better than people who live in Minneapolis. And I was in Melbourne one day, and it was the weather like this, and nice and, you know, cool but nice. And I mentioned that. I say, we feel morally superior to people from Minnesota. And she said, I know exactly what you mean. I'm from Minnesota. So we have some announcements. And we're just thankful for the warmth we have outside, but the warmth we have here in our fellowship in Christ. Monday, tomorrow, 7 p.m., is a systematic theology at the Gibbons House. And I'm going to ask Phil to do the offering while I'm doing the announcements, if that's all right. Tuesday, the women's Bible study at 10:30 at Florence's house. Florence said she's not going to scare us anymore, that she's back. Yes, and we're very grateful. So Thursday, the transition team is meeting, and we're now starting to review people who are potentials. So we just ask for prayer for that. We've gotten some through the Free Church matching program and some through just other contacts, but we've routed them through the Free Church matching program. So just pray for us as we review individually and then we start discussing. This is just a crucial time in the life of Candlewood, and we're just excited to see what adventure God has for Candlewood going forward. You know, we're going to look at some a passage in Acts today. I'm just going to give some background ideas that might sort of help frame the events we're going to look at. You know, we live in a day that values diversity, and the group identity is crucial to many people. The expectation is you have to accept everybody's identity, and their identity is either something they chose, something they've made up, something that's a result of their history. It drives much of our politics. We even have that phrase, identity politics. You know, at one point in humanity, in history, humans got together, unified, to build the Tower of Babel. And the unity was shared opposition to God or shared decision to be like God. And so God confounds their language, and that's the beginning of some diversity that has its ultimate roots in sin. It's God's judgment on sin and diversity that comes through human sin. I've always wondered at Pentecost, why did people hear Peter in their own language? I think God was saying, I've undone Pentecost. There is a new unity available through the Holy Spirit. And we all are different. And Revelation it loves all the nations, but we come together. We're all different, but we come together in unity because in Christ we're all living in we're participating in the life of God through the Holy Spirit. And so I think that's just helpful to think that God's kingdom undoes the diversity that results from human sin and brings a unity that's a result of God's love and saving grace to us through Christ. And then when we think that way, human diversity looks different to us. It's not something that scares us because we know the diversity. There's still a deeper unity that's the important one. So let's just open in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this time together to worship, to study, to pray. Thank you for drawing each of us into this family. And Father, we look forward to how this family can grow. We look forward to all the work that's going to bring about, hopefully lead us to the pastor that you want, the next pastor you want here for Candlewood. So Father, I pray for the transition team as they meet this Thursday. Father, pray for these meetings this week too, the systematic theology, the just as people's knowledge and love for you will deepen, and the same for the women's Bible study. Father, we just give this time to you. And we know that you are present here. You've said where one or two are gathered together, you are present. So we welcome your presence. In Christ's name, amen.
Since we're a lot like family here, and I love this, I have to say this, that Florence, when I went to see you a week or so ago with, what's your name?
Yeah.
With Glenn. When I got in the car with Glenn behind your back, I said this. I said, I got my Florence back. So it was so cool. And I know it's already been mentioned. I just wanted to welcome her back. Why don't we do that and say how much we missed her? And he'll attest that was the exact quote. I even said it to my wife. I got my Florence back. So that was pretty cool. I guess you would say the same thing, right? Okay, good. Just checking. I like that. Also, we're a church that does appreciate what people do for the kingdom and things you don't even know behind the scenes that are going on. And one such acknowledgement comes from my friend Steve. Steve Cook is the chairman of the board right now, new chairman of the board as of January. He's done it before. He's phenomenal. But he's here right now for a presentation. Stephen?
Jerry Mildred, could y'all come up here? Jerry's doing the sound system. Jerry served as the chair for how many years was that?
Five, I think.
Yeah. And I have Mildred come up here because it's a partnership. Leadership is a part. It's not just Jerry, but those that are supporting Jerry. And we want her to be up here too. But we just want to give you something special from Candlewood, just as appreciation for your service here. So thank you. Good, everybody.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, everybody.
And he's continuing to serve as transition chairman. So you're still doing stuff.
Yeah. Okay, now we're going to get on with things. Thank you very much, Jerry. Personal thank you. Yeah, great chairman. These two guys are phenomenal chairs. I'm not kidding. Some of the best I've ever seen. Now, to get on with what we want to get on with, I want you to greet each other, but I don't want you to greet each other. Let's do that, okay? No. What I'd like to do is, I have noticed a trend in my own life over all the years, and now I'm going to share it with you, and I know you don't have this in your life, but I do, and I'm still learning in Christ how to be like him. So let me tell you what I've been through. There's a particular group of guys that I've been meeting with for a while, not from the church, and one of that group who just really did come to Christ, which is cool, but another one in that group is one of the vilest human beings you could ever spend time with, and I'm not kidding around. From language to behavior to the stories he tells, outrageous. And you probably know somebody like that too. And I decided kind of like a couple of years ago meeting with this guy. I let him go. He can talk to whoever he wants. I know what his favorite word is. I'll let you guess. Okay, good, that one. And so I just let him go. I listened to his stories, et cetera, et cetera. And I have come to the conclusion, unfortunately, that this guy's never going to come to Christ. He needs Christ, but you know what? He's too far gone. He's too far over the hill, and it's just never going to happen. Okay, let me just move on. No, I'm not. Who said what? Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will tell you this. It leads me to this discussion, and what I told you is absolutely truth. I have kind of made in my mind he's a tough nut to crack, and the Holy Spirit's going to really have to crack this one hard. That's where I've come to on this, and I desperately want to be part of the process. I would pray that he uses me as such. But I will say this to you. I have noticed amongst Christian people, from the first church I went to as a teenager after coming to Christ, and being told that a certain people, group of ethnicity and color, were not the type of people that were welcome here, besides most of them, I love that term, most of them are never really ever going to come to Christ anyway. And as a teenager, I heard this from well-respected Christian people that I knew, and I was like, oh, shnikes, that's not right. Even as a kid, I knew that wasn't right. And it turned out not to be right. Point of the matter is this, there are things that hold us back from sharing Christ with someone. There are things about the people that you see where you might actually think, or by the way they talk, where you think, like me maybe, that's going to be a tough nut to crack and I'm not sure it's worth my efforts. When you get up and greet each other, which is what we're going to do right now, not you in particular, but other Christians that you observed, what might hold you back from sharing Christ with somebody? What about that person that you need to share Christ with might hold you back from sharing Christ with them because they're not what you'd expect of a person who would come to Christ? Why don't you share with them what holds a believer back from sharing Christ with somebody? Ready, set, greet each other and share. Let's go. Okay, be wrapping it up and go find your seat. If you could find your seat, that would be great. That's a hint that if you could find your seat. Okay, have you found your seat, which is great? Oh, well, we're working on it, aren't we? Okay, good. Okay, thanks for finding your seat. I will tell you this, one guy, Glenn and I were just kind of kidding about it. This one guy we've both known for a couple years is a nut that cannot be penetrated, and except by the Holy Spirit, which is probably in any of our lives. But the fact of the matter is that about 2 months ago or so, some of his family came into Panera, and I was sitting with them, and he introduced me to them as his pastor, which was shocking to me. I was the most shocked person in the room. So that was interesting. All right. We'll just let that lay there for right now. Hey, what did you hear? What's a block to me sharing Christ with somebody? What's a reason I would not share Christ with somebody? What about them that just, yeah, okay, Jennifer. I don't know them well enough. Yeah, that's a good one, by the way. Jim?
Fear that it'll end the relationship.
Fear it will end the relationship. Very good. And very well may. All right? Anybody else? Something you heard, seen? Huh? Dorothy? Okay, because they're entrenched in their own pattern of vile curse words?
Yeah.
That one, too. Okay, good. I like that. Florence, you have your hand up? Okay. A cultural difference, okay. Cultural difference or bias. I had a woman in a full hijab drive by me the other day on County Line Road doing about 95 miles an hour and blew past me in a BMW. And I was like, something was wrong with that picture. But there she goes. It was kind of cool to see. All right, anybody else?
General lifestyle.
Right. General lifestyle. How about looks? Color come in there? How about hair? And you go, aha, Mike, you're making a hair joke. No, I'm not. I'm talking somebody in here with long dreadlocks. Oh. I'm not talking the lack of. I'm talking the abundance of, okay? Hair. Yeah. Okay, good. You got the idea. You got to be sensitive to the Spirit in any of the situations as to whether you share Christ or not. And usually, it's go to do it. Don't have to share the whole thing, though. And we're talking a lot about that this morning, which is why we just did this exercise together. Let's continue to sing. Thank you, Beth.
Mm-hmm. You know, this next song we're going to sing talks about the difference between, we're going to do Psalm 1, the man who is intently focusing on the Lord and the blessings that come for those of us who follow the Lord. But this song talks about the wicked will perish. And those people that we're talking, that we're thinking about, you know, we're afraid to share the gospel with them, they're going to perish. They're not going to be in eternity with us. And that, for me, is always so convicting. But it talks about the wicked man will not stand in the judgment or sinners in the right in the assembly. So that's a motivation for, in my mind, that we just, you know, when you see someone like that you're scared to share with, think of how lost they are. And know that you might be the one that is one of those dominoes in the chain that may be helping them come closer to Christ. So let's sing Psalm 1.
Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Blessed is the man doesn't stand in the sinner's way, or sit in the seat of the mocker. Blessed is the man. so forgiven. It will be like chapel, and the wind will blow away. The wind will blow away. And for the wicked man, in the judgment will not stand, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous.
Beth, I appreciate that. Listen, could you locate somebody next to you? Right, you don't have to stand. If you want to, you could. But get away from a spouse if you'd like to do that. I shouldn't have said that. But if you wanted to, you could. And let that go with that. Anyway, if you could locate somebody next to you by eye contact right now or reach across and touch them, whatever you want to do, just indicate that you two will be together for this next section. Okay? If you need to move your seat to make that happen, do so. But make eye contact with someone right now, whatever, and say, I'm yours, you're mine, that type thing. Okay, we're doing great. Just two people. Just pick out another person. This is very personal. Pick out another person. Very good. Now you slide a seat. Good job. Good job. Good job. We're doing good. All right. Man without a country. Who's without a country? Jim's without a country. Okay. I got mom over here. I call her mom too. Okay, you can bend a seat. You're sitting with them. Okay. Okay. Rose, you want to go visit with mom? Hey, mom. Here comes somebody for you. She's all excited now. That was good. That's real good. Rose is just a couple years younger. Don't worry about it. It'll work. All righty. Have you located that person? Good. Listen up here. First thing you're going to do is something in your own mind and heart, and you know the details, but you don't have to share these. And here it is. And here it is. There's a person in your life right now who's at the bottom of the totem pole as far as sharing the gospel. You look at them and they're debauched. And that word's a great word. Look up if you don't know what it means. They are just at the bottom. They are cussers, they are insolent, they are just lack of discipline, their life is in disarray, and you know this person by association in the fact you've met them, etc., maybe spent some time with them, but you're like, whew, what a piece of work. Now that I've described that person to you, the reason I say that is because of all the people that you know who are most not likely to come to Christ, it's this person. Who is most likely not to come to Christ because of the way they are. They may even tease the things that you believe and make fun of them. So just right now, in your heart of hearts, think of that person. Could you do that? Theoretically, in your travels and in your relationships, you should be able to put a finger on one person who you see would be least likely to come to Christ for a lot of reasons. But do not share yet. Now, if you would bow your head, and maybe for the first time ever, would you in your heart of hearts, in your mind, would you pray silently for that person to come to Jesus Christ? Would you do that right now? Our Father, I thank you that you hear these prayers, and for the names that were just mentioned to you, I would pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would use us in the individual relationships we have with them, to share the plan of salvation about Jesus, your Son. And Father, any fruit that comes of this will be all to your glory, for you deserve it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, now they might be wondering why you're sitting with somebody. There's another part of this exercise that doesn't need description from you. What I'd like you to do with the person you've designated is to share with them the name, not the situation, not any of the details. Share the name with the person and ask them if they would commit with you to pray for that person during the time between now and the next gathering in 2 weeks. As simple as that. You're sharing the name and having them agree with you. Yes, I will pray for that person in your life. Don't want any details. I will pray for that person in your life, and I will pray for you daily over the next 2 weeks. Would you talk like that with each other? Share the name and ask each other to commit to each other's person. Go ahead and do that. Okay, if I could have your attention up here, Jerry Peterson. Jerry Peterson's going to lead in prayer for these people that have been mentioned and shared, and let's let him do that.
Fathers, we've been considering all of these names, these people that we consider to be tough nuts to crack. For the Holy Spirit, there are no tough nuts. We're all marshmallows to him. Father, we know that the Holy Spirit can do this, and this is completely your decision, but this is our request, Father, that the Holy Spirit would penetrate these people, that first of all, he'd give us the opportunity to give them the information, but then that the Spirit would make that effective in their hearts and minds, that he would lift the scales from their eyes and help them to see the truth of their dire situation. And the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful gift that you offer. Make that obvious to them, Father, we ask in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.
Okay, let's sing together. Beth?
Come and take your people.
He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
That was sweet. That was good. Thank you, Beth and Steve and Rose. That was really neat, wasn't it? That was awesome. Okay, if you would now get in that group of two or three, it doesn't have to be the person you met with before. Here's your chance to change that up and get a better group. And so you can do that. Group of two or three, you decide who, where, move chairs, do whatever, and we'll give you a minute to get settled, and then we've got some real meaty stuff to do. Okay, you found your group. Two, three people. I see multiples of two and three in various areas. So, by the way, I am part of the transition team, and I will be and have been talking to some candidates, and I'm going to alert them to the fact that you people are mathematically challenged. How big is that group? Eight. That's right. I've been counting all two of those folks, okay? All right, is everybody settled? Good. We've landed somewhere? Good. I need you to pick a leader out of that group because the leader's really got some work to do. So pick a leader out of the group, not by finger pointing, but if that works for you, that's fine with me. Okay? Point the person out in your group who is in charge, the leader. Okay, I'm glad we did this. Okay, has everybody got a leader? Can the leaders raise their hands for me? Leaders, you're going to raise your hands for me? Leaders, raising hands, good. Kathleen, what was that? That was like get off my lawn type thing. I was like, get off my lawn, Mike. Get out. That was wonderful. Okay, everybody's got a leader? We have leaders, leaders, leaders. Okay, and gallons, good to see that. Okay, now listen carefully. Leaders, listen carefully. You have a choice this morning. They're one of the following three people, not scriptures, but people that you have to notice in our text from Acts chapter 15, verses 1 to 21. Acts 15, verses 1 to 21. There are three speakers in the text that we've been studying all week in our community groups. Hopefully you've been reading some of that. Some of you even read ahead before you come here this morning. I like that. There are three predominant speakers. The first one, leaders who are taking notes, you're going to choose between one of these. The first one is in verse 7, Acts 15, 7. It's Peter. And make note of that, because you've got some choices. So the first one you can pick is Peter in verse 7. The next one you can pick is Paul and Barnabas who will be together. Paul in verse 12, also there's a special note with that. If you go to pick that one, I'll let you know about that. And then the next one is James in verse 13 and following in the verses that come after that. Listen carefully. You are going to go through the scripture. You're going to decide with your group which person is the one that you're going to focus on. Now in Peter, it's verses 7 and following. Paul, verse 12 and some before that. And then James, verse 13 and following. What you're going to note is this. They have some key lessons that they were giving out themselves that they learned from the Holy Spirit about who comes to Christ and when and how and those kind of details. I also think in here there are some good lessons that have to do with us today that teach us about sharing Christ. Kind of the same issues they were dealing with the Gentiles coming to Christ is the same kind of details I deal with when I think about talking to someone about Jesus. So what you're going to do as a group is you're going to pick out one of the three people. It's going to be Peter, or it's going to be James, or listen, Paul, there's only one verse. So in that instance, I want you to go back earlier and look at the behavior in this chapter, Acts 15, as to what Paul and Barnabas were doing and fit that in too. All right, and that'll give you a good little dossier to look at for how they were bringing Jesus Christ to different groups of people. So everybody got it? Got the idea? I think there are some life lessons here, some principles, some guidance as to how or what I should be leading somebody to in Christ. Absolutely, faith in Christ, salvation alone, I get that. But this goes past the hindrances that stop me from sharing Jesus. And you're going to note in your study any of those type lessons that have to do with me sharing my faith in Christ. I think they're there. Everybody got the assignment? Going to pick out one of the three voices, Peter, Paul, or James. Decide with your group which one. Peter's in verse 7, Paul's in verse 12, James in verse 13, and the surrounding verses. All right? Pick one out, then discuss. I'm saying this over and over, somebody gets it. And then discuss what principles might be there. What principles might be there that help me today in sharing Christ? Go. Okay, be wrapping up with maybe something that you can share. Be wrapping up your discussion with maybe something you can share if you'd like. A lot of good sharing. That's been good. You can be looking up at me. And we can get this going. Okay, now that I'm glad you're looking up at me, thank you for looking up at me. Thank you. It's good to see your shining faces. All righty, listen up. As you read through Acts, realize that the prejudices of today, realize the superiority of today, realize the great self-images of today, all of that is reflected in the people of that day. And realize a lot of times it gets commented on. We blow through sections of Acts like this without realizing what was really going on behind the scenes. And trust me, there was a lot going on behind the scenes. You get a glimpse of it today. Let's have a little fun. This is Mike's little toy with Mike's mind time for a second. How many people covered Peter? Okay, one group, two groups, three groups. I see them. I feel them. I sense them. Okay. Okay, how many people covered Paul? Now, that's the interesting one. One group covered Paul, and how many covered James? All right, you can't raise your hands every time, folks. Okay, just kidding around. All right, let's do this, all right? Let's see a lesson as we seek to teach the church. Let's go to Peter from verse 7 and on. Who would like to share a principle, a teaching point, a thinking point, something about what he said that has direct pertinence to today? Who would like to? Ed, why don't you come here to the platform?
Peter made a statement about earlier days that a person was saved through circumcision, and he pointed it out because that wasn't necessary. What was important that God saved their souls through faith. Did I do okay?
You did great. Okay. Except for that opening song you did, it was great. Okay, somebody else do Peter? Come on up here to your platform, Phil. There you go, buddy.
When we discussed with Peter, we thought about his experience with Cornelius and the vision he had had prior to that. And it made him realize that God really is no respecter of persons, and God is willing to accept everyone, and even Cornelius, who was a Gentile, who was uncircumcised. So when we relate to others and we talk to them, it's important that we focus primarily on the gospel and not try to get involved in any of their personal issues, and keep on point. And that's the best way that we feel it is to approach another person about Jesus.
Not realizing that you're talking about the most personal issue in a person's life, their salvation and faith in Christ. Well said, Phil. Okay, did anybody else have Peter at that point in time? Okay, over here.
We kind of focused on verse 8, which says, God knows people's hearts. I don't know somebody's heart, and I don't know what's going to bring them to Christ, but God is going to lead me in the conversation and lead me to talk about the stuff that's important to them. And then God confirmed that he accepts Gentiles by giving them the Holy Spirit. And so I think that's what unites us as Christians is, you know, you meet somebody who's a believer and you kind of already know that they're a believer because the Holy Spirit testifies to that. So.
Really good. Thank you. Anybody else do Peter? Right, okay, let's move on. One group chose Paul. Nobody else chose Paul? One group. I'll tell you what, this is the one you got to think through a little bit, okay? But let's see what we get here. Jim?
We came up with two things. First, we jumped up to the beginning of the chapter where Paul and Barnabas are. They are the cause for all of this because they're bringing Gentiles to Christ but not making them become Jewish. And it's probably not as prevalent now, but there have been times when Christians expect people who become Christians need to act right away just like we do. And I didn't share this with these guys, but I'll share a story. I had an uncle who lived in Bradenton. He was just a country boy from southern Ohio, high school degree, did maintenance at a hospital, kind of rough, crude. We were always a little afraid to be around Uncle Ralph because he was kind of punched us around, and you know he would have his lucky strikes wrapped up in his t-shirt. You know, he just looked, and his kids all struggled. But we went to his funeral, and they'd gotten involved in a ministry that worked to people who were prostitutes, drug addicts, homeless. And they started coming to Christ and coming to their church, and the church people say, these people aren't like us. We don't want them in this church. But at his funeral, they had an open mic, and all these people stood up and said, Ralph, when they cut off my electricity, I called Ralph. He did this for me. When my toilet flooded at 3 in the morning, I called Ralph. He came and fixed it. And I learned so much about Christ through Ralph, he was not prejudiced against people I probably just had no contact with, but I was prejudiced against somebody who had the contact with them, who was a believer representing Christ. And that just, for me, that was a very powerful personal lesson. But the second thing we saw in verse 12, Paul and Barnabas tell all the signs and wonders that God had done. Now, I don't know that there are some Christians who do say, you know, there should be signs and wonders today, and I'm not going to say what God can or can't do. But I think for us is to realize Paul and Barnabas aren't saying, look what we did. They're saying all of this was done through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we have to rely on. We have to be faithful in our witness, but leave the result up to God. He's the one who's doing it. We have not been successful. We don't judge our success by did they become a Christian. We judge our success. Did we do our best to represent God truthfully?
Excellent work. Okay, who had James? I'm presuming the rest of the group had James. Jerry, here you go, buddy.
First off, we kind of talked about a little bit about how James came to his conclusion, and he only cites what Peter said, and then he cites what Amos said. And he didn't seem to need all the anecdotes that Paul and Barnabas told about, although perhaps the others needed them. He just jumps right from Peter to Amos and says, here's the deal. These people should not have to become Jews first. The thing that was interesting, though, was that he says some stuff that had me confused for years and years as a Christian. All these things that he said you can't do. Why can the sexual immorality, that was fairly obvious, but who cares about what you eat? But the thing is he's being sensitive to the sensitivities of the target audience. And he's talking about, okay, now if the Jews are going to not going to be able to tell you have to be circumcised and become a Jew first, then on the other hand, don't you go flaunting your freedom in front of them, doing things that make them feel uncomfortable. So be sensitive to them and keep them as comfortable as you can. So help them to be comfortable around you. Be sensitive to their culture without erasing their culture. You don't want to erase their culture. You want to be sensitive to it, and you want to present the gospel in their context so that they can understand it and adjust to them, because the gospel is available to everybody whether or not you're comfortable with them. You don't have to be comfortable with them, and they don't have to be like you. They just have to be sinners who need the gospel, and God will work through them on his own terms.
Good insight. Laura, are you the speaker over there?
Nope.
Bob, are you the speaker over there?
We did Peter.
Oh, you did Peter. Okay. I'm sorry. You want to share about Peter?
I guess so.
There you go.
We want to hear.
Well, I mean, it's similar to what everybody said, and when Jim was speaking too, this made me think of something that happened in one of the churches I went to, and even when we were looking at churches, they wanted us to sign a list of all these rules to do and not do before we could become members, and we walked away from that church. And then in another church we're in, I just remember somebody saying that how thankful that they were when they were a new believer that the church gave them grace to grow. They didn't expect them to cut off their dreads or dress in dresses and fit the so-called look that Christians are supposed to look like, I guess. But that was just very important to me, when I was a young believer.
I forgot about that, but yeah. You gotta look a certain way to come to Christ. I like that. Okay, is it Stephen? Is it Beth? Stephen, come on up here to the porch.
Well, we can agree, because we've talked about some of the same things the other group has said, but one thing that just we looked at is when he quotes from Amos, it says, I will rebuild its ruins and I will restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord and all the Gentiles who are called by my name. And you mentioned earlier about those people that we really think are lost. I mean, it's like we don't even work. He's called them. I mean, he could be calling them. And so rather than say, well, this guy's hopeless, there's scripture here and there's a promise that God has reached out to a lot of people we may not even know about. And the other thing that was already mentioned is about the yoke. We do have yokes we put on people as Christians. And that can be, we create our own yokes, and we got to take those off. They shouldn't be yokes.
Very good. All righty, let me share just a couple things with you toward the end here as we get going toward the close. Four things that impressed me in here, just if you're looking at the scripture in verse 7. I think Peter would have said before this, I can't believe I'm going to tell you this, but God had to show me some great lessons. With the sheet coming down and the unclean animals, he said, kill and eat. Peter's like, surely, Lord, I wouldn't do that. You remember that whole story. Peter comes clean here and says he was just showing his area of his superiority and his prejudice as to who could and could not be saved. And Peter had to show God, just like he needs to show us, that the plan of salvation is for everybody who comes to faith in Jesus Christ based on that faith alone. The second thing you see here I saw in verse 10 is that we cannot burden potential believers with how to act or look a certain way in order to receive the gospel message. There's a test in here for each one of us. You want to know what the test is? Here it is. When I see someone not like me,
You know, those people. When I see one not like me and determine that I will not share with them because they're not the right type of person, ding, 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 ding. Hair, clothes, lifestyle, religious orientation, race, color, language, etc., then you understand what we're talking about here with number two. The third thing I wanted you to see is also in that same section of verse 11, and that is this, that the Jews, with all of the rules and all the stuff they did, and then us over here who didn't follow all those kind of rules, the requirement's the same. Salvation is in Jesus Christ alone. There's no other requirement, which is why he says here, that's why when a Gentile comes to Christ, it shows us a great lesson. Because they didn't follow all the Jewish regulations. They just plainly came to Jesus Christ in faith alone. And that's what made them saved. And fourth, I wanted you to see this. In that quote from Amos, I'm surprised this got passed up by many of the scholars of the Jewish community. But what you see is this, that God all throughout history has been gathering a people who are called by his name. That's what he's been doing all throughout history. So much so, is everybody listening? I want you to catch this. So much so, should that nut in Russia decide to launch a nuke somewhere, and maybe you're close enough to see it go off, all right? Don't think that this is the end, and don't think that things are out of control and God doesn't know what's going on. God allows, or this is tough to deal with, deep end of the pool, or causes things to happen on this planet. Wars, catastrophes, natural disasters, weather, you get the idea. God allows these things or causes them to happen for one purpose. Because he'll get glory over the fact that the people who are called by his name would only respond to him in a time like this. That's what's going on here, folks, behind the scenes. And I need to look at what's going on around me in that context. I'm going to ask you to bow your head with me. I want you to think. And I want you to think this. Everybody got their eyes closed? Think with me real quickly. Let me ask you this. Is your concern and purpose the same as God's? Or have you allowed other things to enter your heart as a priority that have essentially blocked out certain people from coming to Christ or sharing Christ with them? Have you been living and acting with certain prerequisites for others before you'd even open your mouth about what Christ has done in your life or hear the whole message of salvation from you? Our Father God, at this time, we come before you and we repent from where we have wrongly thought and wrongly acted based on some people around us that we just might find unlikable, unlovable, and Father, we just have no time for them. Father, I pray that you'd open our hearts to share Jesus with those that you have brought around us. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing, and then after we sing, we're going to be dismissed. Thank you guys for leading us.
Come and take your people home. Come and take your people home.
He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Tom is going to close us in prayer right now. Tom?
Father in heaven, you are the true and the living God. We thank you for this opportunity we've had to worship you, to worship with brothers and sisters who share the faith and the struggles of faith with us, who help us in the process of not only searching the scripture, but searching our lives for evidence of your truth and your direction. Now, Father, we've talked a good deal this morning about both some good things and some often stumbling blocks to helping others to come to faith. And we just ask this week that your Spirit might make us alert to the folk around us. We've all prayed for at least one individual that we regard as being at the bottom of the list. And whether we'll have contact with that person or not, we'll have contact with other folk who are probably lost. And so we ask your Spirit to make us sensitive, make us aware, and particularly give us courage at the moment that we have opportunity that we might say something that will be not only helpful to them and true to your word, but might be truly prompted by the Spirit. So we ask your guidance this week. Give us strength, give us insight, and give us courage to serve you. These things and a good deal more, Father, we leave with you now in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.